Sportscast, August 14th, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, Periscope, iTunes, and YouTube. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. And, of course, visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, for the latest and greatest in sports. This episode is brought to you by Insta Bible App. You could get the Insta Bible App on the iOS App Store. Share a verse to the world. RB Leipzig shocked the world by defeating Atletico Madrid 2-1 with American midfielder Mr. Adams scoring the winning goal. And today we got a huge match between Barcelona and Bayern Munich. I will say no more. We got Fernando Olao. Welcome back to the Sportscast. Look at that. Bayern Munich.
How are you, Santiago? It's a pleasure to be here on the Sportscast. And thank you for having me again. Great games. As you said, shocking news yesterday seeing Leipzig. And we expect one of the best games in the Champions League today, Barcelona v. Bayern Munich.
You know, this is probably one of the most exciting Champions League tournament for years. I think one of the reasons is because they're like one-offs. They're all like knockout single. You know, like once you lose, you're out, go home, or you know, just you stay or you just go home. But has it been very more exciting, you know, for you compared to the other years?
Well, not really. The part, I mean, I've seen the last years, of course, being a fan of Real Madrid, they've won 3 Champions League in the past 5 years. And not only that, but some of the turnovers on those Champions League titles were really great. I mean, for example, the Wolfsburg game when Ronaldo scores a hat-trick and takes Madrid to the next stage, that was amazing. But you're definitely right. The fact of this Champions League being a knockout round in this last stages has made it way more enjoyable. The teams have to put their maximum effort in 90 minutes, and that definitely gives the show to the people.
Yeah, and that's something that we realized, because typically, guys, for Champions League, there's 2 games. One, they play at their respected home stadiums, and of course, if there's a tie, the away goals count a little bit more, a little bit heavier. But this time is single. I mean, this is like one game, one-off single. You know, single game. So it has a World Cup feel to it. Of course, there's no fans. Now, do you think in the future? No, I don't see it happening. Do you think like the Champions League could have some type of have the tournament being hosted at a host country and just do like one-offs? Or do you think they're going to go back and do, you know, 2 games?
I believe that once everything goes back to normal, and even once they get their schedule up and running for the next season, it's going to be a 2-leg rounds. It's not going to be a single-leg knockout like we saw right now. I think right now they made a single-leg one because of, COVID for sure, and yeah. 2, because of traveling back and forth, playing home games and away games during this pandemic, exposing players, staff, and every other member of the team to COVID by traveling wouldn't be fair and wouldn't be smart. So I do believe moving forward, maybe we are going to go back and see the 2-leg matches.
I don't know about you, man, but I've been kind of reevaluating a lot of things in my life and how I used to do things before COVID, but also been evaluating things in the Champions League. And I don't know. I mean, I can see that, you know, things changing a little bit when it comes to soccer. One thing I was really reevaluating, maybe playing less games in the season. It feels like a lot of these players, they're so banged up. And when I saw players resting for 3 months, I saw them, you know, rejuvenated, and they've, you know, healed like injuries they've had for years. That's just my, you know, my opinion. What do you think about that? You think like there should be some more soccer breaks, or you think, you know, things should go back to normal?
I do believe things should go back to normal. Regardless of that, I do believe what you're saying is true. I mean, some of the players have been able to rest a little bit longer, be able to recover a little bit longer. So they have become match ready now these days. However, though, by having those long breaks, and having the players not get in touch with the ball or play professionally, you lose rhythm in the game. And that's bad for the team and for the player. And also by losing rhythm, you can get more prone to injuries themselves. So I do believe that we have to go back. Some schedules were tight, especially the Premier League team schedule. It's really tight all around the season. But I do believe, I mean, one, it's the beauty of the game, being able to play several competitions and being able to play at a top level. And two, there's also a business behind it. So I'm pretty sure that's a big factor as well.
Yeah, what I was thinking about that is also a huge money factor. Business, I mean, if you don't play, for several months, like they're not making money. So it's definitely a huge business in Europe. So money talks, and I don't expect them changing any schedules. Maybe Champions League, I'm saying, but that's also a money thing too, because if they play at the home stadiums, they probably make money off of that too, right? There you
That's
go.
correct. Yeah.
They don't want to
You always
make
got
a
to
whole
remember there's
nother.
business behind the game,
Yeah.
and that's a huge factor.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, for college football, like the small schools, when they visit like a big school like Alabama, they make $2 million. So they need to play those big schools to make money. It's probably the same for soccer, for Champions League. If they go, if it's RB Leipzig versus, Barcelona, they'll make some extra cash in order to make that extra money to pay those players where they have huge contracts. Anyways, let's go recap what happened on, was it yesterday or Wednesday? It was
Yesterday.
yesterday, Thursday. Yes. All my days are a little blurred together. RB Leipzig defeated Atletico 2-1. It was a shocker. Everyone said it was going to be Atletico. And Cholo Diego Simeone, a goal by Dani Olmo. No, head of the German side. Yeah. Substitute João Felix leveled the game for Atletico. And then, of course, Adams, the American Adams, scored the winning goal. Tell us, Fernando, your recap and your analysis over this crazy match.
Well, I believe we all expected a game like this from Atletico de Madrid, and probably I was expecting Leipzig to be a little bit more careful to where they were going to propose. Atletico Madrid, I mean, they were playing their game, waiting for the opponent, and trying to do those counters where Gianni Carrasco was amazing. But it was a tough, tight game in the midfield. It was not a clear game. With that being said, I mean, the first goal from Leipzig was a great goal. A great play, and definitely they did deserve that one. Then a clear penalty for João Félix, which he manages to score, a great penalty kick taken by him. I'm not sure he's worth the 126 billion paid for him at the beginning of the season, but nevertheless he had a good game. And then that last game from Tyler Adams, the American. It's just one of those games where you have the luck. I mean, they shot, the ball bounced on Savic, and it completely changed the direction for Jan Oblak, which has been one of the greatest keepers this last years. And it was a shame because, I mean, not that Leipzig didn't deserve to go through, but I mean, to lose a game like that with one mistake at the end, I think it was pretty shameful for Atletico and for Cholo. But nevertheless, congrats Leipzig, and I hope they can keep playing like that.
What happened to Atletico and Ancelo? Do you think like they overthought it? Like, what were your thoughts when you saw him playing?
I believe they were trying hard, but they were playing their same game over and over, and maybe what they missed was a different approach to their attack. Maybe try to look for different options. Try to change your formation a little bit. Try to make more damage, because you had Leipzig playing with that line of three center backs, and they're really, really good center backs. Upamecano is great. So I mean, he's tough. He's agile. He goes fast. He goes good with his headers, and also he's great tackling. So it was a tough game. You probably needed faster players from the start, and just try to go more forward and score. Which I don't believe Atletico did that much.
Now, this team, RB Leipzig, of course, you know, they're from Germany. They're a Bundesliga club. They face Paris next, PSG. A PSG that also we'll talk about that a little bit later. They kind of won last minute. Can this RB Leipzig team go deep, or do you think they just got lucky with this match, or do you think they're a force to be reckoned with?
Okay, so one, I don't believe at this stage in the Champions League, when you're with the last eight top teams in Europe, that you can attribute everything to luck. Again, RB Leipzig deserves where they are today because they fought for it. And with that being said, it's a 90-minute game. If they give it their all and they play a perfect game, they might be able to go through. But then again, the other side, you have a PSG with so many great players. We saw Neymar having a great game, one of his best games probably. He definitely took the whole team on his shoulders. Mbappe made it also an appearance at the end of the game, which was...
Which I thought he was out completely for that match. I thought he was not going to be visible, but he came in second half.
Yeah, and he was part of that second goal, which gave PSG the lead to go through. So I do believe Leipzig has a chance, because there's always a chance when you're playing football. They're gonna do their best again. I'm pretty sure about that. And if they're accurate enough and they play the perfect game, they might just go through. But they gotta be really careful with their opponent, though. It's a really tough opponent.
Let's go to the game with PSG. Atlanta, PSG won 2-1, like you were saying. They had no Mbappe till the second half. They had a Neymar. This is the full Neymar, carry the team on your shoulders. Very Brazilian type of team. Defeated Atlanta, which looked a little bit tired. What were your thoughts like over that match?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Joseph Ilicic was a big, you know, how do I say this? It was really bad that he couldn't start for Atalanta for whatever personal reason he had. But nevertheless, Atalanta still had a great team, and they were the Cinderella of this story. I mean, they were the surprise of this story. And sadly, they couldn't make it through. Again, as you said, you had a Neymar that was on fire for the whole game. And then when you add Kylian Mbappe to his tactical approaches, and it was a perfect companionship for him. Also, Choupo-Moting, great movements without the ball that made him do that goal. So I do believe Atalanta had a great game. They got tired in the second half of the game. They couldn't start pressing any longer. And you still had many options from PSG from the bench that could change the game. And that's what happened.
Now, for the next match, when they face RB Leipzig, will they have Di Maria back?
Well, apparently they will have Di Maria back. And Di Maria has been one of the greatest players for PSG this season. He has done some great assists. And, I mean, you look at the PSG squad, and every player on that squad, you know, can make a difference in the game. And if Di Maria is able to play back on this next game, then it's going to be great for PSG.
How was the performance from Marquinhos? He scored this goal at the 90th minute.
Yeah. Well, Marquinhos was playing kind of a center defensive midfielder role. He's been a center back for most of the games, but he played this role really good. And he does great support, especially when you got this set pieces, you know, the corner kicks or the free kicks, everything like this. He does do smart attacking supports, which is really important to not lose his position. But, I mean, he played a great game, and he managed to score a goal, which is great.
And will we see Marcos Verratti back when they face RB Leipzig?
I hope so. I really don't have much knowledge about that, but I hope to see Verratti back, because he's also a great center defensive midfielder. He can be a mixed midfielder as well, and he's got a great passing and great defense, a great work rate. So I believe PSG is waiting to see Verratti back as well.
Which one do you really want? I mean, which one does PSG need the most, a Verratti or Angel Di Maria?
I believe
That's a coin toss.
Yeah, no. That's really a coin toss for sure. But seeing the last game, I would say probably Angel Di Maria
Right.
to be a little bit more supportive in the attacking plays. I don't know. In my opinion, Neymar was missing some companionship on the attacking on the
That
first
second
half.
attacker, which Mbappe kind of helped them out a little bit in the
Yeah,
second half.
that's correct.
Julian Draxler, I heard he had to step up. He had to step up a bit. How was his performance, in your opinion?
Well, Julian Draxler is definitely not on the starting 11, but he's a really good player. He's really fast, and I do believe he made somewhat a difference. Again, you have the Atalanta players tired, so you got a Julian Draxler that's very agile, that's really forward. He likes to go forward and do one-on-ones, create plays. So I do believe he was also one of the great influences in the game.
Atlanta, is this the end for them, or do you think they have a good future promising, I mean, promising future ahead of
That's a discussion because several of their players were doing really good, and when that happens, you have a lot of other teams searching for these players, trying to get these players, probably not on the most expensive side of the market, because as you know, the market's like crazy right now. The market's definitely crazy. That Joao Felix example is the best one for me. 19-year-old kid worth 126 million. That's just insane. So if Atalanta manages to keep their roster, then most likely, yeah, they're gonna have a good team next year. If but then again, if you start taking away those players that were key to them, like Ilicic, like Zapata, then it's gonna be tough. And you gotta remember that soccer, I mean every sport, you got such a short window to play it and to be at your best. If you got an offer from the Premier League or one of the top teams in Serie A, Germany, I mean, you're most definitely prone to take one of those offers
So
if you feel
Atlanta,
like it.
is more of like a selling team.
Well, maybe not a selling team, but it's rare to see an Atalanta this strong and with such good players. And when you're playing good, you can't avoid having eyes on these players or teams. So there's a high chance of somebody wanting to purchase players right now, especially forwards. I believe the forwards were one of the best. Papu Gomez played a great season as well. Joseph Ilicic, Cristian Zapata. So it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for them. And if they manage to keep the players, it's going to be great because it's going to be a continuing process. They probably can be even stronger. If they start losing players, then it's going to be a disappointment. But we're going to have to see because also in this COVID, I don't want to say post-COVID market yet because we're still doing it,
Yeah.
but this COVID market might change things. Maybe teams will not be purchasing that many players, and that might be good for Atalanta.
Yeah, because Atlanta finished third in the Serie A. Is it because like the other clubs are kind of restructuring or like they're rebuilding? Is that why they went up so up in like the table?
No. It's because they had a great team, they had a great season. And you can see even some of their scores were crazy. They were scoring 7 goals in some games. So they really had a power attack, really, really powerful. And an overall very good team.
Something to definitely look at. And of course, PSG will be playing RB Leipzig, on which that side, the other bracket where we'll preview Barcelona versus Bayern Munich is the toughest bracket, and the other bracket with Paris and Leipzig is like the weakest, but that's
Yeah,
debatable.
that's
Anyways, let's
debatable.
preview the biggest match of the day, Barcelona versus Bayern Munich. A Barcelona that has a Messi. A little bit of a different Barcelona. Messi is carrying the team a bit, more of like the Argentinian style. So he has like the Neymar position today. And of course, Bayern Munich, one of the most exciting teams this past season. Maybe favorites. Fernando, who do you got?
This is the toughest question of the day, probably. But I mean, and I'm gonna be honest right now. Bayern Munich is one of the most solid teams right now. Great attack, great mid, great defense, great goalkeeper. Like on paper, you're probably gonna think that Bayern Munich is gonna go through. But when you analyze the other team, and I'm not saying Barcelona has a bad team, not at all. Maybe they haven't been playing their best football right now, but you have one factor that can change a game in 30 seconds, and that's Lionel Messi. And with Lionel Messi on your team, anything can happen. So with that being said, I believe it's going to be a tight match. And for me today, it's going to be about Messi.
Who for Barcelona, who's the second player that has to show up and help Messi?
I believe most importantly the midfield. So Frankie de Jong, I believe Sergio Busquets will be playing, Arturo Vidal, and of course you need, I mean, those connections when you got Luis Suarez and Messi doing their game together. They definitely score some goals. Luis Suarez is a goal scorer, and maybe he can score some today.
So who do you think is the second most important player right now for Barcelona for this match?
Marc-André ter Stegen, 100%, the goalkeeper.
Interesting.
And he's going to be really important today when you have a striker as Robert Lewandowski playing on the other side. So ter Stegen's going to be on his feet today and 100% on point.
If it goes to penalties, who will win?
Wow, that's actually I haven't even thought about the
It
penalties
could
yet.
happen, Fernando.
Yeah,
It could
it could
happen.
happen. And actually, I would love to see penalties because it's going to be great to see Manuel Neuer on one side and Marc ter Stegen on the other side. You know, the two German goalkeepers, probably top three goalkeepers right now. And it would be great to see that. But on penalties, I think probably Barcelona has a better penalty kick takers.
That's what I was thinking. And of course, he has Stengen and everything. And it feels like they're like the underdog of this match. But I'm going to say if it's penalties, it's going to be Barcelona. Bayern Munich has to play a little bit outside the box, meaning like they got to be more creative. They got to be more urgent. But I got a feeling Barcelona is going to pull this one off.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, and again, and going back to Leo Messi, because one of the big questions of the day is who's going to win the duel between Robert Lewandowski and Leo Messi. And the difference is Robert Lewandowski is going to need someone to make a pass for him, to put a nice through ball. You know, he's going to need some support. While Messi can just change the game by himself, assist or score, and that's going to be a key difference and really, really important.
The game also for tomorrow is Man City versus Lyon. Another great match. Lyon is having a great tournament so far, and of course, Man City just beat Real Madrid. What is your take on that match?
On the Madrid Man City or the Lyon?
Man City versus Lyon.
Okay, so definitely the underdog is going to be Lyon. Man City, I mean, Pep has proven his ability, his tactical, I mean, his ability as a tactician when it comes to football. He definitely is a great coach, a great manager, a great strategist. So I think they have the upper side. Plus, if you see it on paper, just the players, also Man City, it comes out on top. However, we go back to the 90 minute. Everybody wants to win this Champions League. Lyon beat Juventus to make it to the semifinals. The same goes for Leipzig. So anything can happen. With that being said, I think it's more likely than not that Manchester City will beat Lyon.
What's the score line for that one? 3-1?
Yeah, probably. I'm gonna go with 3-1 for Man City.
It's quite interesting. So we got a big match today, of course, with Barcelona, Bayern Munich, and of course, Man City, Lyon. I think that's like the toughest side of the bracket, don't you think?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, just look at the names on that side of the bracket. You had Manchester City, Real Madrid, Juventus, Bayern Munich, Barcelona, Chelsea, Napoli. I mean, they were all great teams doing great job. And Lyon, of course. I don't want to say Lyon not because they've been playing good in France as well, but it's definitely the tougher side.
What would it take for Quique, the manager from Barcelona, to keep his job? Do you think winning the Champions League will be enough, or you think he's done no matter what? C'est
I
the end.
think, yeah, Quique Setién. I do believe you can actually see his work right now with Barcelona, compared to before the Quique Setién time. But he definitely is gonna need a win, and at least the minimum to keep going. I think he should keep going on this process would be to give a great performance, because you're not playing against any team today. You're playing against Bayern Munich, so it's gonna be hard, and you definitely can't decide the future of one person based on one game. But again, it's gonna depend on the work he does today.
Obviously, the
So,
rumors is Pochettino is the big one, Xavi, and there's a third one out there, isn't it?
yeah, I think the other one was it's a Dutch,
Yes, Koeman.
Koeman,
Yes, which Barcelona has had good luck with Dutch managers in the past, so this would not be a bad thing either way. But we'll definitely see what happens this weekend. Willian is officially part of Arsenal, Fernando. Well, I know Willian's about 32 years old. Did well with Chelsea. Is this what Arsenal needs, or just another veteran leadership in the team?
I think it comes more as a veteran leadership, bring some experienced players with the likes of Willian, which, I mean, he's a great dribbler, a great left wing. I mean, you can put it anywhere in the midfield up there, and he's gonna play a great game. But I think Arsenal had quite a few players also in their attacking portion
Aubameyang
of the game.
re-signed, so he's a keeper.
Yeah, like I said, it's still we're still ongoing to see what happens with him. But you also just signed Pepe, who was playing in France. I mean, for me, he's great. Pepe plays great, and you got some youngsters also on the attacking side of Arsenal. But it's gonna be interesting to see the Willian support. I think he needed the change from Chelsea. He had a nice long run over there with the Blues, and he just needs to change and see what else can happen. I think Arsenal are starting a really great process with Mikel Arteta, and we might see the beginning of a new Arsenal, or maybe we just started the beginning of a new Arsenal.
You see, you have faith with Arteta?
Yeah, definitely. Especially not just because of his game in the past. You can see he's a very intelligent player, but also you can see what he's done with Arsenal right now. And he's got a great teacher with Pep Guardiola. So now it's just about proving himself. But I think I do have some faith on the Arteta era.
Regime, yeah, I think he's going to be a very good manager. Some people say he's premature. I like him. I like Lampard. And but you don't are not 100% agreement with Pirlo going to Juventus.
Yeah, I think of, I mean, again,
No
looking
experience.
at him as a player, it's wow, you got Pirlo. Great. The engineer, as they used to call him. I mean, what a mastermind. But then again, you just finished your training. He was going to start with the U23 on Juventus, and all of a sudden you're called for the first team. It's hard to say what's going to happen. We're all hoping that he does a great job, but
He has
again,
talent.
just like Arteta, he needs to prove himself.
His improvements, but this is different because the other coaches like Zidane or Lampard or Arteta has some coaching experience, at least a year. Guardiola started coaching like the U23s. Pirlo has no coaching experience at all, so he has a lot to live up to. But he does have talent. He does have a man named Ronaldo, right?
Yeah,
So.
that's correct. So far, there are already rumors on that. I don't know if you heard them. A possible offering from the agents of Ronaldo, offering Ronaldo to Barcelona.
No way.
So some say it's just speculation, just a marketing strategy, to hype up some things. But
Because
yeah.
another Ronaldo, because the Brazilian Ronaldo back in the early 2000s played for Barcelona and Madrid.
Yeah. One of the only guys who have played for the both sides and still being loved by both fans. And also, he played for Inter de Milan and Milan.
Oh my God, I
So,
forgot about that. Yeah, that's kind of rare because in sports, you don't play for your rival team, but some players have a good personality that could do both. Very rare. Cristiano, I mean, can he pull that off?
I don't know. I mean, if Cristiano were ever to wear the Barcelona shirt, I personally am going to buy it. His and Messi's, I'm gonna have those in my collection, but there's a lot of Real Madrid fans that are gonna be furious. And I think it's just the way the game is. I mean, you can ask Luis Figo when he moved from Barcelona to Real Madrid. I mean, it was pure hate from the fans from Barcelona.
See, that's the thing. It just depends on the person's, like the player and personality. I do want to see Ronaldo go back to Man United,
Oh, that
but
would be great.
that
That
would be
would be
awesome.
great.
That's great marketing as well. But of course, you know, the soccer gods will decide that Ronaldo could do whatever he wants. Do you think Ronaldo wants to win a Juventus? I mean, like the Champions League there, or do you think, hey, I mean, I won Serie A, and that's all I can do?
I think he wants to win everything he's playing,
Right.
but I don't think it's a goal of him to stay to win the Champions League with Juventus. There's a lot of talk, and there has been a lot of talk that Ronaldo was going to be the guy to bring the champions to Juventus, and maybe that's something that has weighed on his back, because we all know he sets goals and he likes to take on those goals and beat those goals, reach those goals. But this has been hard, and I don't think that's a reason why he would stay at Juventus if he has any other offer or plan for his future.
Well, the rumors are speculating, of course. We're in the free transfer period. No sign of Real Madrid getting him again. It's too bad, but hey, it happens. Anyways, anything else before we head into predictions?
I think that's what we got right now.
Let's go to Europa League. Who you got between Inter versus Shakhtar Donetsk?
I got Inter.
Why?
They're the strongest team in my opinion. I mean, and these last games they've been proving it. You got Lukaku and Lautaro Martinez up front, really great goal scorers. You got a nice solid defense, and I like the defensive mids also. They're doing a great job, and then it's all about what they can create for Lukaku and Lautaro Martinez. But they do have the better team.
Not related to this match, but Alexis Sanchez is going to enter on a free transfer. Is that a big deal or not a big deal?
I think it is a big deal, of especially for Man U, because Inter are taking on all of their wages, and also it's a good deal for Alexis Sanchez, was. Who is happier at Inter de Milan than at Man United? So I think it's a good deal for both of them.
Let's go Sevilla versus Man United. That's a toss-up, Fernando. I will not be surprised if you pick one or the other.
I'm going Man United on that one.
Me too. I got a feeling they're going to do a good job there. I mean, Ole, I think his job is secure for the rest of the season, but I think if he wins Europa League, that is like a cherry on the top for now.
That is correct. Because, I mean, going back to Champions League, plus winning the Europa League, that's going to be great for them. And but, I mean, we can't forget they're playing against the king of the championship, Sevilla, five times winner of the UEFA Europa League. So it's going to be a tough match. Sevilla has great players as well. Julen Lopetegui is doing great. But I do believe Man United comes stronger right now. And they have a clear goal. Plus, they just added Pogba again into the lineup.
Which he's doing really well.
Yep,
He's
that's
doing well.
correct.
So he's
So,
in good behavior right now.
yeah, correct.
Let's go. Final prediction for Bayern Munich Barcelona.
Woo!
3-1
Bayern
Barca. I'm
Munich,
kidding.
Barcelona. Just another preview for everybody. There we go.
He's going for Bayern Munich, guys, if you haven't noticed.
This is a tough one.
I know it's the toughest
Tough
match. This
one.
is, I mean, this is a final type of team.
Basically.
Type of match, you know?
That's correct. So
Give us a
I'm gonna
score.
say it's gonna go for Lionel Messi 2-1,
No way.
Barcelona.
No way. I can see that happening, though. I don't blame you. I don't blame you. Man City versus Lyon tomorrow on a Saturday afternoon.
Man City, all the way.
Man City score. That's a 3-1.
Score 3-1. 3-1, yeah. Yeah, I mean, with a team like Man City who keeps possession and likes to attack a lot, don't let the opponent get out of their of their field. I do believe Man City is gonna go really, really hard on this one, and 3-1 is an accurate result.
We should be seeing Kun Agüero there then.
Not Kun. I believe he's still on recovery.
Okay, well, hey, I got Gabriel Jesus, so that's
Yeah.
which
Gabriel Jesus, who scored against Madrid, so
which I didn't think he's dangerous. You think he's dangerous, but you know, Brazilians and Argentinians, they're both pretty dangerous when it comes to soccer, and they're necessary for your club to win something. If you don't, you might be scaled a couple of dots. Anyways, Fernando, what is the best way to reach you, to follow you along when you're watching these matches?
All right, so you can follow me on Twitter. That's going to be at FERU245. That's my Twitter handle, and I'm on Instagram as FERULLOA5.
Fernando is soccer analytical. He watches these matches in detail. You may not be able to speak to him after Real Madrid loses, but after that, outside of that, he's definitely reachable. And he's as good as – I'm not sure – I mean, I think you're one of the top people that I met that knows about everything about soccer, even the Premier League. So, because typically La Liga don't really mix with like the Premiership, but you kind of follow everything if you love soccer. You know.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that, Santiago. Thank you so much.
No, yeah, no problem. That's why you're back in the Sportscast. This is your third time.
Yeah. That's correct. Third time on the Sportscast. Enjoying it every time. And
yeah. I hope there's And it gets really more exciting when Jaime comes along. But, of course, he has a day job, so he couldn't show up. Anyways, you can follow us at thesportscast.net or at thesportscast1 on Twitter. We'll definitely be tweeting about the matches. We'll definitely let you know what's going to happen if you can't watch it. If you're working like Jaime where he can't watch TV, but you're able to check Twitter and follow us at thesportscast1, and we'll give you definitely up to date, because this Champions League for me – it's exciting. For Fernando, not as much, but I forgive him for that. Anyways, Fernando, thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much, Santiago. Thanks to the Sportscast, and I hope to be here soon back again.